back to our hotel with my dad, Ed, and Howard Cosell. And Howard told me, he said, you're wasting your time making movies about football. He said, you should be using your talent to make films about more relevant and important subjects than sports. So I said, like what? And Howard replied, you should make a film about me. So I did. I took my camera and I followed him for the next 8 months. I filmed him doing championship fights, at speaking engagements, and in the broadcast booth. Now, I never agreed with Howard about football. To me, it is a fascinating subject to film. And as you'll see from the show that we made 27 years ago, and from interviews we've done recently, I'm not alone when it comes to disagreeing with Howard Cosell. But he was right about one thing. He was a compelling subject for a film.
I'm really glad that Ed and I started this venture. This is going to be great for
Sanchez,
these.
If it doesn't sell, give it to your grandchildren.
Oh, come on. You couldn't. Not
You'll
sell.
Watch it at night.
Get whatever price you want for the damn thing. But this is great for the guys. You know, it's a whole new motif.
It's a whole education.
Oh, it's a whole new incentive. It's a great motif. New motif for you. You're not on the damn sidelines shooting these sons of bitches with the tackles and the blocks, you know.
I remember how CBS and NBC laughed at ABC and said, prime time, a football game, it'll never work.
So it's three downs and over for the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's been their wont so often tonight at a time when they desperate. Their wont, W-O-N-T.
Oh, Howard.
The education of Dandy Don continues. We await the punt.
Don't use like that. Nobody knows what it is. It's wont. W-O-N-T.
That's the way I say W-A-N-T.
We didn't treat with the games in the puristic past of the medieval sports writers, so many of whom you employ, fitting consorts, each of them, for the age of William of Orange.
Buffalo seems to be achieving its purpose, but in a dubious way, Don, because...
I know that word. It's the womp, W-O-N-T, that doesn't really sit well with me. Got an awful lot of rednecks and white socks and blue ribbon beer. You ought to talk to those folks, Howard.
Spike Jones on to do the putting.
We did this thing our way, the contemporary way. We reached the whole of the society. What happened? The competitive network screamed at the end of the year, it's not football, it's entertainment. What the hell did they think we were dealing with? The sanctification of a saint?
Hey, Howard Cosell!
He was a complicated person, Howard was. He wanted the adulation, but he hated the people who gave it to him.
Oh boy, they're animals. They're absolute animals. Come on, we've got to get out of here as quickly as possible. We have animals here. Animals.
Yes, take the feed. Let's at least get something done. I'm feeding in tonight's net, tonight's local, and tomorrow morning's net.
This is unbelievable. Oh, don't tell me they didn't get it. If they didn't get it, simple radio feed, then they've got to put on a substitute.
That's absurd. All they got to do is roll a tape.
He also would do a piece for Good Morning America. And all Good Morning America would probably call down during the show and say, we need a minute, 45 seconds from Howard. So halftime would come, Chet would tell him, and he would do a minute 45 and stop, and the clock would be a minute 45. No, I never saw a teleprompter, never saw a script.
Back in 60 seconds.
And he'd come back, and he proceeded to do a one-minute commentary on Rhodesia's problems with the Olympics. Now, it would take anybody maybe weeks to write it as beautifully as he did, no notes whatsoever, and he did this. So Rhodesia has to make a decision on what their plans will be for the Olympics. Howard Cosell, speaking of sports, click. Right on time. It was perfect.
We're running out of time. They're going to have to get a substitute if we don't do it right now because the halftime highlights are going to come in. These plays to evidence the rugged, the taut defensive nature of the contest. That's Larry Smith, once of Florida, and the tackling is brutal.
Everybody, before all this stuff that was going on, highlight packages, ESPN, 24 hours, CNN, all this stuff, didn't exist. If Howard Cosell picked you for a Monday night highlight, you were big.
The ball picked off again by Mike Wagner, who had three interceptions on the day.
He could make a guy just by saying, but no, it's Lynn Dickey. And he goes on and says something, and you go, hey, Lynn Dickey's having a great year. Howard Cosell said it's got to be true.
But no, Bobby Lee has the Falcons moving again.
And it became such a cause celeb over the years that eventually in Miami, 10 years later, my life was threatened and Howard Cosell's life was threatened because we didn't have Miami on the highlights every week.
Which was why Chet and I decided to tell everybody that the halftime highlights were selected by Howard, when in fact Howard had nothing to do with it. But we just kept, there were going to be death threats. We wanted them aimed at Howard.
We got where we used to have police protection to get Howard Cosell out of the stadium. I mean, people would turn around and be yelling at him and throwing at him and rocking his car and all the rest of it.
And as the clock runs out, Don, the line was, he's as fine a man as he is a ball player, and he's all there is of both. And that's O.J. Simpson.
I lived and died with Cosell because Howard was never happy with the outcome of Monday Night Football. Never.
What'd you think? I felt Dandy went overboard sometimes tonight. Frank agreed with me.
After a game, I'd be in my hotel room for about 1 minute and the phone would ring. It'd be Cosell, and Cosell would call and he'd say, you liked the game tonight, didn't you? I said, what do you mean, Howard? I thought it was a pretty good game. You thought the guys treated me nicely.
What'd you think of the telecast, fellas?
I'd hang up. 1 minute later, he'd call again. Are you sure you feel that way? When you wake up tomorrow, I think you're going to have a different opinion about that telecast.
You see, what most people don't understand is that Monday Night Football is only a very fractional, marginal part of my activities. And I'm bored, you know. Game bores me. You see one, you see them all. Anything that gets me out of sports where I can show that I'm a whole human being, with a mind and a spirit and with attitudes and concerns that are far transcendental to a silly little thing like who wins a football game or a baseball game.
Is this true you're going to run for the Senate?
I'm thinking about it.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Senator Cosell, find out when we return.
Until recently, these guys lived in a pretty elite place, and the closest ordinary investors came to them was tapping on the glass, hoping to get in. But at Datech Online, we're rendering the old Wall Street Club obsolete, so everyone can have the power of professional trading tools. Like Datech's streamer that shows continuously updating quotes as the market moves, and a commitment to execute your order within 60 seconds, or the commission is waived. There are so many great reasons to be a Datech customer. We're the only broker with 12 continuous hours to trade. And any online trade is just $9.99. The power of professional trading tools is no longer reserved for the privileged few.
And when you fund your account, you'll get 10 free online trades. To apply, call toll-free 1-877-DATECH-21 or visit our special website.
Datech Online. The rules are changing.
We want to give back to the community, and that's why a lot of us are involved in the Big Buddy program. Chance to give children something they would otherwise never see, to meet their heroes.
When I pass it to you, just give it right back. All right, now give it back! Oh!
Shooting! Pass the ball! Pass the ball! Get
easy, man. Be a big fan.
Light defense! Get on him! Get on him!
Get it out, being a Big Buddy allows us to give back, and, you know, that feels pretty good.
Get out! Walk it off! Your parents signed the permission slip. Get up, man.
Remember when Howard talked about running for the United States Senate from New York, and I happened to see him shortly after that. I said, Howard, are you kidding? Who, you know, what makes you think you can be a senator?
A degree in and a career at law, which includes an editorship of one of the major law reviews of this country, and thus a very full knowledge of constitutional law, of government and government procedures, and all of the rest. Almost automatically, that makes me better qualified than 90% of the political hacks who run for public office in this country.
Howard was distinct, and so there's sort of no accounting for taste. If you liked somebody who was different, if you liked somebody who wasn't afraid to show his ego, if you liked somebody who was going to speak his mind, then you liked Howard Cosell.
This guy was a complete rude boor on the mic or out. But when he was on the mic, it was really fun to listen to, as long as he wasn't getting you.
This great mystery of football
Football is like all other games. It's very simple, and in professional football, it's very stereotyped. What I'm trying to tell you in a very nice way is the game was not invented by Enrico Fermi and refined by Wernher von Braun.
Once our industry debased itself by taking men and making announcers of them merely because they played the game, they were frustrating the very young people I've been talking about. You go to campus after campus and you face the same question every way you go. A brilliant youngster gets up. You find out about his grades later. A, what does he do? He runs the newspaper on campus. He runs the radio station on campus. He appears on television locally. He's taking courses in journalism and communications. He's an A student. He's doing everything right and in the American way. And now he wants to go along and be a Howard Cosell. How does he do it? What he has to do is play second base for somebody, or shortstop for somebody, or left halfback for somebody, and have no qualifications. Then he can do it. It's the jocks who played the game, right? They should be on the air, right? Gee.
How did the American people allow themselves to get into a state of mind where the only occupation in America, where a man didn't have to be professionally prepared, would be sports announcer? Where a man totally untrained in communications, with no noticeable ability verbally to spontaneously deliver, could begin at the top. How did this happen? It happened because of the failure of communications in both broadcast and in print.
From the press?
No. No. Never been with the press. I only fight with the press. I'm never with them.
Put it on the table. They're a seedy lot, hangers-on, traveling with the clubs, living with the clubs, dugout mentalities, no horizons, no awareness of Vietnam, no awareness of packing the Supreme Court, no awareness of the great crises of the great cities. In general, they are a disgrace to the journalism they pretend to be a part of.
This one time I called him, and Mr. Cosell, it's Rick Riley. I'd like to do an interview with you and perhaps do a column. Rick Riley? No interest. No interest whatsoever. And he slammed down the phone.
How many of you look to your own papers? Have sports writers who are still writing, Monday night football's a disaster. Whom are they in touch with? Whom are they writing for? How do you permit this to go on? What kind of surrealistic nonsense is this?
Well, I've always thought that Howard was kind of an intellectual bully in the sense that, you know, he could criticize everybody about how smart he was, and yet if somebody criticized him, he was very sensitive to it.
My question is it true that our ABC put the quietus on you as it pertains to your remarks about pro football being a dog game and a threat of firing, you know, removing...
I'm glad you asked that question, because such a column was written by a man in the Miami News named John Crittenden, who never called me. It's a totally false story. A similar column was written by Joe Falls in the Detroit Free Press, who never called me. It's a totally false story. And when I broke the Kansas City-Chicago Bears game at halftime this week, I said the score is 12-0, and if you like field goals, we've got a game. Nobody ever put the quietus on me or tried, least of all Pete Rozelle, because if he did, I'd expose it. Now, that's the kind of sports print journalism that I find utterly and totally obnoxious.
I went to do a Monday night interview on the field live, and he said, I'm standing here with the number one flop in the National Football League, rookie quarterback Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw is a nice kid, but he's a real dope.
What a dummy for the world. Beginning of the season, he's leading by 7 points.
Well, what about your heralded oasis in the desert, Randy Johnson? Here's a kid who says, I'm glad we're moving out of Yankee Stadium. I was afraid of getting my throat slit every time I left. Little punk from the South.
I remember once we were all waiting for a press elevator to go down. I mean, I think it was the playoffs, maybe the Super Bowl. We had to quick get down there and get to the locker room and do our interviews, right? And Cosell comes with four cops and a huge stogie, and the cops push us all aside and move Cosell into the elevator by himself. And as the doors are closing, he goes, "The important people go first." What a complete that guy was.
I liked him. I really did. He treated me like gold. Like I said, invited to his house out in the Hamptons. Every time he saw us, he would say, "Give me that tab, pick it up." He wasn't as cheap as everybody said he was.
I'm not here to arrogate ourselves. I've read enough of that pomposity and arrogance that's so supposed to be attached to me. That comes out of bitterness, envy, and absence of co-equal success. Nothing more, nothing less.
My last Pro Bowl, we walked off the field together, and he put his arm around me and told me, you know, what a pleasure it was to cover me and what a class act I was and how proud he was of me. Wow, that's pretty neat.
He didn't care what you thought of him in the elevator, and he'd blow cigar smoke in your nose, and he'd take your cab, and he was rude to you on the phone, and he'd slam down the receiver, and he wouldn't come to the door at his apartment complex because he didn't care. But that's the same thing that made him great on the air. He didn't care. He'd rip a guy on the air, didn't care. He'd make fun of an owner, didn't care. And, you know, in a great way, that's what made him wonderful to listen to.
I don't care any longer about what they write about me. They can't win. I'm not being a big shot. They've lost. They can't lay a glove on me.
You can't fight. You can't throw no punches. You don't have no muscles. You've never had a physical contact with nothing in your life like sports. And you're going to stand up here and tell me about my legs and about football. You're going to know about everything. Well, I'm getting sick and tired of it, and I'm going to show the world there really ain't nothing to you.
Don't touch me. I'll beat your brains out.
Cosell matches wits with the greatest when we return.
ESPN, the magazine.
Well, thank you for calling.
Dan, can I put you on hold? Dan Patrick wants a free Polo Fleece pullover.
He writes a column for the magazine.
Yeah.
But he's not a new subscriber.
Sorry, Dan. No can do on the fleece. It's only for new subscribers. You mean you're actually calling to subscribe?
Everyone wants our warm, roomy Polar Fleece pullover. It has a half-zip front, an embroidered ESPN The Magazine logo. And best of all, it's free.
Stuart Scott wants the fleece.
Booyah! Call now for ESPN The Magazine and get your sports the way it ought to be. Big and bold, fast and furious. Get 26 issues, a year's worth for just $1 an issue. 66% off the newsstand price. And your fleece pullover is free.
It's Chris Berman.
He could go all the way! Bumbling something from the...
Hello? Call now, 1-800-814-1771.
Brett Hull, Oscar De La Hoya, Tiger Woods.
It's 3Play at ESPN.com. You log on, you register, and every day you get three new athletes. Then whoever gets the best stats wins some serious scuttle.
Ken Griffey Jr., Al Unser Jr., a fella in the ninth. Name Junior.
3Play at ESPN.com. It's free. It's sports. Give me the briefcase. It's money. Presented by 1-800. Call ATT.
Howard would use whatever sport there was to promote himself. See, Howard was one of the great self-promoters. You know, I always used to kid him, too. I'd say, Howard, you're supposed to be this great sports journalist, and yet the only events you ever go to are ABC events where you're working. We never see you at anything else.
He abused the power of television by overpowering events as a personality, where it seemed that he wasn't there to supplement the event, but the event was there to supplement him.
Where is he?
He's in there.
Where is he?
He's in the bed.
Where is the champion? And working on his head. Come on out here for a minute, Joe.
Oh, what does he think about me? He knows. The greatest. The greatest is still the greatest. Let's put it on the table and let it all hang out. You got the picture? He was there in Philadelphia the night I took them all on and left them for dead. You saw a man smoking that night, Frazier. Mm-hmm. Did I kill him?
You were smoking.
Did I kill him?
Mm-hmm.
You sat there, you loved every minute of it,
mm-hmm.
didn't you? You wanted to see them get it, didn't
mm-hmm.
you? Huh? Okay. Here he comes. From the Mexico City Arena.
representing the United States in the heavyweight classification, 19-year-old George Foreman.
Can't hold up my pants this time. We're all
Listen, I just left Frazier. I think he's uptight about you.
Is that right?
I don't think he likes you. But he seems to think that you're going to be very easy. He really does.
What you going
to
be saying about me when Joe Frazier starts coming and I start...
I'll tell it like it is. If you kill him, I'll say it that way. If he kills you, I'll say it that way.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner. He is as poised as can be. Frazier is dazed. He is getting hit again and again and again. The same head that was hit so often by Muhammad Ali. He is all over Frazier again. He has Frazier in the corner. Frazier's knees buckled. He is about, he is down. He is down for the fourth time in the fight. George Foreman is doing to Joe Frazier what he did as a 19-year-old to a veteran Russian, a fellow named Ioannis Chapoulas, in October of 1968 in the Mexico City Arena. A quick left from George. Another. Frazier is down for the fifth time in this fight. Angie Dundee is screaming, stop it. Ferdy Pacheco, Ali's doctor next to me. It is over. It is over. It is over in the second round. George Foreman is the heavyweight champion of the world.
You heard that Foreman said he dedicated the fight to me, didn't you? Did I tell you?
We got fantastic material.
Did I tell you that Foreman would do it? Here I am, 6'1½", the body still lean, taut, tight, angular, supple, live, ready to go against Muhammad.
And whatever it is you got going, it's working, because here you are with me in a limousine in New York. Sports announcers don't ride with me in limousines, Howard.
You've had a kind of special relationship with me in terms of our interviews.
Naturally.
That they've been different from the other interviews.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. Totally different. I would say you keep me going. You keep me thinking.
I remember him as someone who was an important journalistic figure, and I think that to deny that is to let your prejudices get in your way.
Everybody said keep Ali out of the country because he said he got nothing against the Viet Cong, right? The great prophet, right? One guy, the only guy that went to Ali's defense was Howard Cosell.
One of the things that Howard did was proclaim himself as the first and the only journalist to defend Muhammad Ali. Nothing could have been further from the truth.
And you know, it was almost conspiratorial, it seemed to me, the way certain classes of sports writers came out of the woodwork to go after me. My God, the man refused to take a step. There had been no arraignment, no grand jury presentment, no indictment, no trial, no conviction, no appeal, no appeal to the next court, no appeal to the court of last resort, which the Supreme Court would certainly hear in this kind of case because of the constitutional guarantees involved, and the man is stripped of his duly achieved property right and his right to earn a living. Now they license deserters. They licensed deserters in the very state where the politically appointed boob of a boxing commissioner had deprived Ali of his two rights, so now they've defied the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution.
You have a sassy attitude, Muhammad. You talk sassy. You don't look like you're the man you were 10 years ago. You talk like a bully. You talk like a big bad guy. And it makes people want to say, show him he ain't bad.
Do you kids really think that Muhammad can still beat George Foreman?
Yeah. What George Foreman?
You're a great actor.
What you mean, do I think that? Yeah, you don't believe I can whoop George Foreman? Say it on television now, so when I whoop him, I can make you eat your words. If I whoop George Foreman, can I pull your toupee off?
That's a deal.
Is that the answer?
If you ever fight George Foreman and
whip him, I can pull your toupee.
You can take it off right on television, because I don't think Muhammad Ali any longer can beat George Foreman. Cut.
For the record, Ali did fight Foreman. Ali won the fight, but Cosell never lost his toupee. We'll be back with some final thoughts.
We're running our holidays. We gotta do something.
Whoa! Cool it.
I've called this little meeting because people can't use their frequent flyer miles on our holidays. It's because of the blackout dates on all these mileage cards.
You can't blackout love, you know.
Well, people can't fly when they want.
Here's the solution.
It's the Miles One Visa Platinum Card from Capital One. It lets you fly anytime on any major airline with absolutely no blackout dates. And you get a low 9.9% fixed rate on purchases and balance transfers.
Victory.
Call 1-800-257-7676 for your Miles One card so you can earn miles to fly over Easter, Valentine's Day, Thanksgiving, and any other day of the year.
Get out there and spread the word.
Go to milesone.com or call now and we'll give you up to 5,000 bonus miles on balance transfers and fly anytime, even for the holidays.
I'm dead meat.
They defy all human instinct, for they are the ones who volunteer to place themselves in front of the target. The NHL on ESPN. This is the game.
Bruins, Flyers, Saturday at 2 on ESPN2.
Since his death in 1995, there's been a lot written about Howard Cosell's legacy. Was he television's first true sports journalist? Was he responsible for the rise of sports talk radio? Can the field reporters who now permeate every televised sporting event point to Howard as a pioneer? Well, to some extent, Howard did change the nature of broadcasting, but he didn't change the nature of broadcasters themselves. No, Howard was a true original. He rose like a screeching comet, and he left a trail that no modern broadcaster has ever dared to follow. There'll never be anyone like him. In the end, that's the greatest legacy of Howard Cosell.
Did you have a good time following me around tonight?
Yeah,
isn't it? I thought you'd enjoy it.
Brought to you by Edge Pro Gel. For unsurpassed comfort, lose the foam, save your skin. And by National Car Rental, the official car rental company of the National Football League. The NFL is online at www.nfl.com. For more, log on to ESPN.com, part of Go Network, go.com.